There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Away we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday edition of the program as we watch it rain. Pretty much all of us out there watching it rain for Mobile and Baldwin counties today. A 100% chance of showers. Then it looks a little better this afternoon. We're going to try to time that rain moving out and the cold weather moving in. Hopefully it makes a change by parade time at 6:30 this evening, but we'll talk more about that when we check in with Dr. Bill at around 12:35. All right, lots to do on the show today, and we're going to get into some local issues. We're going to get some national stuff. Somebody was asking, would I add in the comments from Elizabeth Warren quoting Bloomberg from last night? Would I put that in the show open for Midday Mobile? It is a strong consideration. I'll play that clip in a little bit. A strong consideration that may make it in the show open. But we'll talk about the debate last night and a whole lot more to start off with our buddy Jeff Poor. Read his work in Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. Actually, the man that breaks 76% of the news in Alabama and derails at least one campaign weekly is joining us right now. Of course, check him out on WVNN in Huntsville for the Jeff Poor Show. Jeff, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on, Sean.
It's always good. So, what any campaigns you've derailed today? You put any bad spin on a campaign out there, like by just quoting the candidates?
No. And there would be more of that if we had any media in this state that would go to these events and just report what they say, because you make a headline. But I don't know what the AL.coms of the world are doing in their spare time.
Well, they're not doing, I mean, and your formula there, and if y'all read his work at Yellowhammer News, or you'll hear lots of us in the state talk about what Jeff Poor said in this story or Jeff Poor said in that story, there's your formula, right? You just show up and listen.
Yeah, because every campaign that I've ever covered, and I'm sure in most places, have a reporter that would maybe follow them around or maybe just go hit up a bunch of events and write some pieces. But I think there's a lot of journalists in the state that think that's going to that kind of stuff is beneath them, and they need to write more important stories. But man, that's where you win your Pulitzer, being at the right place at the right time.
Not like that jab. Let's talk a little bit about the Senate race here in Alabama. And of course, the gloves came off. We've talked about that. The gloves came off in earnest last weekend. Now you have a story up at Yellowhammer about not just the candidates, but a PAC, specifically the PAC Club for Growth, coming in, siding with they're for Tuberville. Is that who they're for?
No, they were, early on, they were rumored to be the ones that pushed Jeff Sessions into this race.
Right, I heard that. And then that's why I thought that was a big change, or it's not. They're still in.
No, they still haven't backed a candidate officially.
But you're right. They haven't backed a candidate officially, but let's look around the landscape, right? That they were behind Jeff Sessions, they were behind Bill Hightower, right? And they were just against Bradley Byrne.
Well, with Bill Hightower, it's different because they formally endorsed. Like they did, they put out a statement and they said Hightower is our guy, and we're going to do what we can to help him get elected. With the Senate race, we just heard all these reports and all these rumors, and they would tell us on background about Jeff Sessions' chances in the Senate race. They put out these polls that show Jeff Sessions leading the field if he were to get in tomorrow. mean, that was kind of like part of their game. But something here, they never went all in formally on Jeff Sessions. Something here in the last few weeks is making them, I think, kind of rethink that possibility and maybe lean toward Tommy Tuberville.
Okay. Well, I mean, because I want to ask this, because Club for Growth, though, is it warranted to say Club for Growth has been anti-Trump?
They were anti-Trump definitely anti-Trump during the 16 primary cycle.
Right. So that's true. They were then.
Yes.
Okay.
Were then. But here's what I'd say about it. So just to get to the quick here, Club for Growth has a pullout today showing Tuberville taking the lead in the Alabama Senate race for the Republican nomination.
Now that's the only poll that has shown that so far. This is by itself.
This is significant, though, only because what polling have we seen except for a few internals and Todd Stacey? And the thing about Club for Growth, WPA Intelligence is a serious polling outfit. Don't look at the numbers themselves. Look at the trends. Always look at the trends in the way the numbers are moving. Now, look, Jeff Sessions isn't moving. Jeff Sessions has been up on air. Jeff Sessions has been campaigning. And if he comes in with a big splash, why isn't he building off of that? Here's my takeaway. They were never going to give Bradley Byrne a fair shake at any of this.
Right.
I think it's more the thing you need to take away from this. Maybe not even that Tuberville is leading now, more than Jeff Sessions is kind of backsliding a little bit. And no one else is doing the extensive polling the Club for Growth is doing right now in Alabama. Why is that? I can't tell you. But you would think you would have a little more polling data to kind of pick up on these trends since Jeff Sessions got in last fall. We haven't seen that, have we? We haven't seen a bunch of polls. We've seen a one or two here and there, but we haven't seen just a plethora of polling data like you would think in a race like this, a three-way race. And the other thing is, another reason I think you need to really look at what Jeff Sessions is doing, he went down with his ads, his feel-good ads, in the very early on, early this week, right?
Right.
And he's gone to attack ads. What do you know about attack ads? That's not something a winning campaign does.
No, that's
right?
A desperate, yeah, that's a move for somebody who's behind.
So I don't know if, you know, I'm just kind of reading into this and telling you, like, what I think, you know, historically this means. If they're going negative, they're no way going to get the 50% plus one and avoid a runoff. They're seeing something that's telling them they're heading the other way. And campaigns that have a lot of money, have been up on air a while, and are, you know, doing all the things that campaigns are blocking and tackling that they're supposed to do, don't move backwards unless there's something else going on there. And it makes me wonder, is this just a cycle where people are just looking for the outsider still? It's not an association with Trump or any of that. It's just something different. And that tends to be kind of an Alabama response. I mean, that was the whole Roy Moore idea. So this is like a kind of a, I think, a very pivotal time in this race, that if things start going in a certain direction for these campaigns, it's going to be hard, very difficult for a course correction later on down the line.
Yeah, because later on down the line is less than 2 weeks away. And you pointed this out, y'all. Jeff is saying that this has gone from a discussion at one point. You and I weren't on that boat, I don't think, but there were others in the state, smart guys and gals, that were saying, you know, there's a chance Jeff Sessions could walk away with this without a runoff. And that was some people talking. You and I were saying, hey, it's going to be a runoff. But now it's... There's no, I mean, you hear no discussion of it being Jeff Sessions with 50 plus one. You know, it's going to be a runoff, and it may be the next question here. Is it going to be a runoff that includes Jeff Sessions or one that doesn't?
I mean, it wasn't a dumb call to say that Jeff Sessions could get through this thing without a runoff. You know, he gets out very early on and has a big, like, opening salvo there, you know, in the very first polling we see. Jeff Sessions catapults to the lead after his announcement. And, you know, you're thinking, well, they're going to have a lot of money. They're building a campaign infrastructure. They got people working for them. And, you know, he's actually not doing the Luther Strange thing, which is hanging out in Mountain Brook for the whole cycle. He's getting out and going around the state somewhat and spending time going to these meetings and talking to people. And it just looks like, you know, traditionally, that means you're going to build up off of what you got, because that's just kind of the indicator. None of that's happening. None of that's happening right now. He's going the other direction. He's even going the other direction according to his own internal polls that he has put out. That's, I think, a problem. I see this negative ad as also kind of a sign that they see something wrong there, that this isn't a sure thing. I think it's probably very highly likely he's in the runoff, but it's not a sure thing that he is in the runoff right now. You know, it's hard to get a read of where Bradley Byrne is right now. I think Bradley Byrne is going to do better than a lot of people think. And a lot of that has to do with just how much interest there is down your way.
Yeah, I want to talk about...
Can Bradley Byrne run up the score in Mobile and Bombagetti?
We come back from the break. I want to talk about that and how that game is played. We return to our conversation with Jeff Poore next, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yep, looks, at least right now, haven't heard anything different at this point. No memos here from the city. No memos from MPD. It looks like still rolling tonight, 6:30. And the Mystic Stripers, 6:30. And this rain, according to Dr. Bill's forecast, might be out of here by parade time. All right, continue our conversation with my buddy and yours, Jeff Poore. Regis Work and Land Yap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. Of course, the Jeff Poore Show every weekday afternoon on WVNN. And we're talking about this Senate race, and a lot to talk about here is this is the freshest and the newest polling information out. Now, this once again comes from, so we set this right, comes from Club for Growth, right?
Yes, Club for Growth, which is a D.C.-based organization, kind of Chamber of Commerce light-ish, but they're low taxes, less government, you know the routine.
And they have put the poll out. Now, they were, like you said, you're right. I need to correct what I said in the beginning. They didn't come out and endorse Jeff Sessions, but they sure as heck got as close to that line as they could.
Yeah, and something, you know, I think a lot of their motivations is anybody but Bradley Byrne. And
what is their beef with Bradley Byrne? What is their beef with Bradley? Why does Club for Growth dislike Bradley Byrne?
A couple of votes. Club for Growth also kind of functions as a, you know, they do government affairs, right? And they have members that are very pro whatever, you know, take certain positions and need certain things in bills. Congressman Byrne voted against some of their key issues, got a low score because all these guys get scored by these organizations, including Club for Growth. And I think, I don't know this for there was some back and forth there between Club for Growth and Bradley Byrne over one particular vote that got them sort of crossways. And ever since then, they have been a staunch opponent of Congressman Byrne.
It seems like, though, the fact that Club for Growth was anti-Trump at one point, I mean, if I'm Bradley Byrne, I'm putting it in my ads. I'm the guy Club for Growth doesn't want you to vote for.
Right, and, you know, they've tried a little bit of that. Congressman Burns addressed the whole Club for Growth thing and on multiple occasions. But, you know, whenever I ask these guys at Club for Growth, like, really, tell me, really, what is it? What did he do to you?
Right.
I never get he just supports anti-growth policies. And I got a pretty real good relationship with them, but they never give me any details or specifics of why.
All right. So we set the background there. So there's this poll out, y'all. If you're just joining us, Jeff said, let's go back to the beginning, that this is a significant, now this is one poll out there, but a significant movement here that puts Tommy Tuberville over Jeff Sessions in the Alabama Senate race primary for Republicans. This is the first time this number's been out.
Yeah, it's the first time we've seen Tuberville show any, you know, to take a lead over Sessions. But I wouldn't read into this. This is my interpretation of the poll. And we already talked about what Call for Growth is, but that it's not so much Tuberville's trending up as Sessions is trending down. Sessions lost 5 points. Tuberville gained 2 points. Sessions should not be going backwards. I mean, doesn't that seem like a logical conclusion? That he is, Jeff Sessions, has 100% name ID, has lots of money, is up on air everywhere, campaigning, got a staff in place, but he's going the wrong direction. What's going on there?
All right. Well, let's talk about of course, we're talking about the entire state, 67 counties in the Senate battle. But right here, two of the candidates, Bradley Byrne, Jeff Sessions, called Mobile home, or this area.
So, and that's the thing. I think Bradley Byrne's going to do well in Mobile. I think he's going to do well in Baldwin County. What he needs is low turnout statewide, and he's got a few pockets of support outside of Southwest Alabama where I think they'll do well. I think they will do well in places like Coleman, Alabama, in places like Clanton and Gunnersville, name some of these towns off, just where they spend a lot of time and money. But if he can put all that together and then really run up the score, especially in Baldwin County on the eastern shore there, and in Mobile County where he has some roots, in Mobile City proper and places like that, then he can build up a foundation and all the campaign can come together and he could squeak into this runoff. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I don't believe that 17% number. I think they're probably a little higher than that. I think they're probably in the 20s. But, you know, keep in mind, that seems to me that this is still a three-way race. Don't assume that it's just a Jeff Sessions Tuberville runoff coming.
Well, I mean, but every conversation I've had about this is, yes, I believe since the word go, or at least since back in November, we were looking at a runoff, but it was going to be Jeff Sessions and, right? It was going to be and Tuberville, yeah. Or Jeff Sessions and Byrne. Could this be a runoff with Tuberville and Byrne and not Jeff Sessions?
There's a probability of that. I think it's low. I don't think it's very high, but I think it's a much bigger probability today than it was a month ago. I certainly do. You know, Byrne has shown that he can move, that given the right circumstances and the right ads, that you can feel Bradley Byrne trending in the up direction. Have you felt that with Jeff Sessions? I haven't felt that at all, to be honest. And I go to a lot of events and talk to a lot of people. You do see Sessions supporters. I'm not saying they're not out there, but the numbers don't grow necessarily. And sure, it's a very random sample, very anecdotal, but you could put all that together, kind of have an idea in your mind. You know that you go to a Bama Kerry meeting, or you go to a Rotary Club meeting, or you go to a Republican meeting, and you know that the chances of those people are being likely voters, about 90% chance they're going to go out and vote on election day.
There you go. Jeff Poore, as always, I appreciate the information. We're going to talk to you again soon, and keep derailing campaigns. All right?
All right. I'll do my best. Thanks for having me on, Sean.
Hey, always a pleasure. Jeff Poore checking in. And I put a link up to that story and that polling information. It's on the Twitter feed at FMTalk1065. Heads up here. The folks at Stamps.com pointed this out, that postage rates have gone up again. Did you notice? Thankfully, Stamps.com eases that pain with big discounts off post office retail rates. With Stamps.com, you save 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off shipping rates. Now, that kind of savings really adds up, especially for small businesses. Yeah, we're one of those. We're using Stamps.com. Plus, Stamps.com is completely online, saves you time, actually brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. So whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller shipping out products, even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Stamps.com not only saves you time, it saves you money too. So think about it. Every stamp you send, you're saving money, and you have that convenience. Check it out. Do what over 700,000 small businesses are already doing. Use Stamps.com. And right now, y'all can get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. What do you need to do? Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone on the top of the homepage, and when you do, type in my first name, Sean, spelled the fast way, S-E-A-N. It's Stamps.com. Make sure to enter code word Sean, S-E-A-N. All right, coming up in just a little bit here, we'll check in with Dr. Bill's forecast and kind of talk about this rainy day out there. Also, you heard the update. I was wondering about this. You heard the update from Devin with WKRG that they're actually cutting power to some areas. I know Baldwin EMC is areas that are flooded along the river. I put some of those pictures up on the Twitter feed from last night. I was on the Washington County side of the flood, and there's a lot of power boxes and electricity that have water just about to get into them. So I imagine those power companies in those areas will be shutting down power as well before the water gets into those and causes a bigger problem. But this flooding thing is really significant. We're on pace to have, I think, the fifth highest crest for the Mobile River since they've been keeping records. So I think the record was back in 1961. All right, when we return, y'all did such a great thing last year, raising throws, packing the float for the family of the fallen that rode in the parade last year. We're going to talk more about this with my friend Joey Goff when we return. Y'all stay close.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Thursday. What was the term? I mentioned it the other day, and now I've heard it starting to get picked up here. Deep Graw. Deep Graw is where we are right now. Of course, it's the big weekend ahead of us. Parades tonight the whole way through Fat Tuesday. And it's a fun time of year. Although I think about it for the work that the men and women from the Mobile Police Department do, how they take on extra gigs, I don't know. But he does. My buddy, Sergeant Joey Goff with Mobile Police Department and Family of the Fallen joining me in studio today. Hey, man.
How are you?
Doing good. Y'all are in the midst of it. I mean, you've got regular shifts, you've got Mardi Gras shifts, y'all are beyond busy.
Hey, we do it all.
Yes. And then on top of this, Family of the Fallen and this group, we talked about this last year, but people who didn't hear us talk about it, tell us about the charity Family of the Fallen and what y'all do, why y'all do it.
Okay, Family of the Fallen is a nonprofit organization that we started about 2 years ago, and it is to remember the fallen officers and their families, because once an officer, unfortunately, if an officer dies or is killed in the line of duty, their memory will live on forever within the police department, law enforcement community, and we worry about their families mm-hmm. being forgotten.
Those left behind.
Because we did have one lady who her husband had died in the 70s, and up until we contacted him, she had had contact with two or three people.
Since the 70s?
Since the 70s. So
wow.
It makes a big difference to let these people know that their sacrifice is not forgotten.
And this is, I got to think about from the 70s, but this last year, deadly year for law enforcement in Alabama.
Yeah, it was a bad year for Mobile PD also.
So I'm thinking about, I'm thinking about those families. We've talked about, today we're talking about Officers Tudor and Villa. And by the way, hats off to Yellowhammer Coffee. Did you go get coffee today? They were giving free coffee for law enforcement.
I did not.
Yeah, we still go get that. The afternoon is young. Think about their families. But you point out, don't forget about a family from the 70s that lost an officer. I mean, that's or lost a family member. And what do you do when you talk about not forgetting those families? What are you doing? What happens? You got a float. People ride. Talk about this.
What we did is, unfortunately, one of our officers died 6 years ago on the first night of Mardi Gras. He was killed the day that Mardi Gras started that year, and that first parade the next year. A few years after that, we ran into his son and wife on the parade route.
Oh,
and
man,
pretty much somebody called and said, hey, they're standing at this particular corner, get out, make sure you let them know you're thinking about them. And yeah. me and my boss, now we were riding in the parade together on a certain detail, and once we passed that corner, we said, hey, wouldn't it be great to get people together maybe during Mardi Gras to kind of remember their mm-hmm. family members sacrificed and remember that they are not forgotten. And Mardi Gras is a festive season, and
it
of course
is.
I don't think you particularly want to remember the death of a loved one
right
in that manner. So it's not that we're celebrating their death, we're celebrating their life,
and you're giving those left behind, their families, a bit of joy, because riding in the Mardi Gras parade, it's a fun thing.
Yeah, yes, it is. And last year was our first time we actually had a float. The Mobile Mystics donated a float to us last year, and they also are donating a float to us this year. So, and last year we rode in the floral parade, and this year we're riding with the Knights of Revelry on Mardi Gras Day. And it was, we had somebody donated a trolley, So we meet the families at the first precinct. We take pictures. We introduce them to other families that they might not know.
Right.
And then we pretty much tell them, hey, you know, we're here for y'all. This is your day, and we want you to have a good time. And we rode from the first precinct to the front of the parade, and we offloaded and put them on the float. And it was a magical day. I mean,
talk to me about that from last year. I mean,
everything came together. The weather was perfect. Yes. I think we thought it might have was going to get rained on a little bit, but the weather ended up being perfect, and the citizens and the people of Mobile that donated beads and money and throws and stuffed animals and stuff like that. This was a double-decker float. We had 9 families with 3 family members apiece. So we had 27 family members on the float.
And they had enough throws?
Yes. There was so much stuff on this float.
Love
that
this.
I'm glad the fire. I'm glad they didn't expect it, because it was so much stuff that they had to walk over and climb over other throws to get to their spots.
Y'all did that out there, and made those donations. And that, I mean, it made me so happy when that news came out last year, because early on, you know, I had a feeling that y'all would do it, but we didn't know for sure. You know, would we have the throws needed for those families? You know, that was a question. It was your first year doing this.
Yes, it was. We actually ended up, we loaded the float probably about an hour or two before the parade started.
You're probably exhausted.
And, well, there was 5 or 6 of us loading the float. And as we left the Mobile Mystics float barn and pulled around to Lawrence Street, where we were going to meet the front of the parade, 8 high school kids and 4 trucks pulled up, loaded with beads. They said, hey, these are from Chuck at Mobile Beads.
Yeah, Chuck McKay, yeah.
And as there was really
you put it on. I love this.
It was as we were pulling off, they're like throwing stuff from the back to somebody in the back of the on top of the float, and it was just, it wasn't, hey, put it here and put it there. It was just put it wherever you could put it,
because it was full.
Because it was ridiculous, the amount of stuff that was donated, which we were extremely grateful. The families had such a good time. We had pictures of them beforehand. We had pictures of them during. I think there was one picture of one of the wives on the float. She's actually sitting down and took her shoes off because she was exhausted, because she had. And we told them, hey, we don't want one thing left on this float.
That's right. You got your work cut out.
And when we got back in front of the Civic Center, there was not one thing left on that float. It was unbelievable.
This is, if you're just joining us, talking to Sergeant Joseph Goff with MPD, but also familyofthefallen.org, familyofthefallen.org, the website. Y'all got a Facebook page too.
We do.
Check it out there for more information. This year, riding on Fat Tuesday, riding with the Knights of Revelry, and we'll see that float come through. How will people know that they're, you know, if they want to be ready? Because it sounds like there's going to be some throws to get.
Yes, this will be the last float in the KOR parade. It starts at 12:30 on Fat Tuesday, and it will be decorated with it's going to be. The float was, like I said, it was donated by the Mobile Mystics, and their theme this year was Sweet Home Alabama. And perfect. We had a selection of floats to choose from, and the float that we actually chose was the USS Alabama.
Perfect.
Because that's obviously, if you see that and it says the USS Alabama,
you know
you're in Mobile.
Yes. Pulling through Mobile Mardi Gras and a USS Alabama float, that may be the most Mobile thing possible.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to have American flags, the thin blue line flag, which is the black and white flag with the blue line through the middle, which is the symbol for police officers. And we'll have a picture of each fallen officer in front of where their family is going to be standing. So that way you'll be able to tell which family goes with which officer.
And you can, you know, the nice thing is the love goes both ways. They're throwing throws, but you get to see those family members. You get to see those, you know, and I think what we saw last year with the throws, I want to talk about this year. People want a way to say thank you. Want to, but they don't know how, right? I mean, we talk about different law enforcement events and places where you can, you know, get a coffee for an officer and all those kind of things, and that's great. But people want to help. They want to help. They just don't know how, Joey.
Yes, that's a common occurrence.
And they're like, man, I'd like to help, but I don't know what to do. What do y'all need? And this is one of those situations where people can straight give back and show that they care.
Yes, you can go to Family of the Fallen, our Facebook page, and I think there's a donation button there. You can go by Gulf Coast Beads on Cottage Hill Road at Demetropolis. Go in and see Chuck. Tell him Joey sent you. And you can either make a monetary donation there towards throws, or you can pick some stuff that you think that somebody's wife or kids or mother or brother-in-law or somebody might want to throw on the, from the float. We also have another company that is called Rock the Float. They're at 3250 Suite E Airport Boulevard. That's behind Canes. Go see Billy Courtney. Tell him that Joey sent you. He'll give you a deal.
So, all right. And so you, when you go in, because I remember this last year, I didn't know what to, but you just go in and say, hey, I want to make a donation. And he can figure out also, if you don't know what to get, the, it seems like last year Chuck knew.
Yes.
Like, okay, here's a donation. I know what to get. You know, he's got.
Right. Chuck was awesome because when we first got, you know, Chuck, when we had a meeting and Chuck said, hey, he said, I'm in. He said, I'm in from now until. And what Chuck did is Chuck pretty much donated is what's called the base package for each rider.
Awesome.
And which is pretty much, if you know what happens on a Mardi Gras float, it's either the clear plastic bag or the oyster sack,
yep,
which is about maybe 3 foot tall by about 2 foot wide, and it's full of beads, it's full of trinkets, toys,
balls. Yeah.
It's a little bit of everything, and then Chuck donated that for every rider. So
to
last
start
year,
off with.
So last year he donated that for 27 people, which was pretty big.
That's huge.
And then I think towards the end of, you know, the day we loaded the float, that a lot of the stuff that came with those eight kids and four pickup trucks was from Chuck also.
Okay, listen, can you hang on for a second?
Sure.
Okay, we're
going to
come right back and talk more about this because you have a chance right now. You could do it today. You could do it tomorrow. Go by and make that donation. And also, like we talked about, you can go to the website or the Facebook page and get more information there as well about making maybe it's a monetary donation to the group. Whatever you want to do, it is a way for us, we the citizens, to give back directly to these families of fallen officers. All right, so we'll give you details when we get back. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. And guest in studio, my friend from Family of the Fallen and the Mobile Police Department, Sergeant Joseph Goff. And talking about stacking the float, y'all did it last year big time. And Joey, I'm looking here at my phone. One of the, holy, okay, he just upped that. So let's do this. This is a lot like what happened last year, and I like it. So, he first question my friend asked, how much money is needed for throws? Okay, because we talked about making donations, but you can also do cash, right?
Yes.
Cash donations. And then, so this person, and we'll find out if I can say his name or not. Right now I won't. He said, get $1,000 in donations today, and he's going to match it. He'll give you another $1,000. So, if a group, $1,000, he'll match that right away.
Okay.
So, sounds like it's going to be another loaded float.
I'm looking forward to it. No amount's too small.
Yeah.
One of the things we're also asking for is if you have some stuff that is at your house,
mm-hmm,
and it's in good condition, and you, instead of taking it to Goodwill, you want to take it to us, you know, trinkets, beads,
stuffed animals,
balls, footballs, all that kind of stuff that you might have caught last year and it's in your kid's closet,
mm-hmm,
in your kid's bedroom that you want to get rid of.
Yes.
Instead of calling, you know, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Yes, that's right.
Just take them to any precinct in Mobile or police headquarters at 2460 Government Street.
Okay, so let's say I pull up at headquarters there, just walk in up front and say, hey, I got...
Yes, there should be a box up front.
Okay.
It's a like huge industrial-sized box that we actually filled up three of them last year.
Love it.
And then what we did is we took everything from all three or four of the precincts plus headquarters, and we took it to Gulf Coast Beads, and we laid everything out, and then we had to go through and sort through what was usable and what was not usable. And, you know, we appreciate every donation that we got, but there was some stuff that was...
Get the good stuff.
There was like moon pies and crackers and cookies and stuff like that.
Just keep the food items out.
We don't want any food items, and if it's dirty or if it's broken, you know, we did have some people that, you know, snuck some junk in there. But we appreciate everybody's donations. So you could
do it that way with stuff you already have in the house. You can also go to Rock the Float, or you can go to Gulf Coast Beads.
That's correct.
And you can. What's nice is if you have a personal, like, I really want them to throw this thing, you can buy that specifically and donate it.
Footballs, stuffed animals, beads. If there's something you see that you like, then you would say, hey, that I think that would be a cool item to throw. You can purchase that, or you can give money to Chuck and say, hey, I want you to buy however many.
Yeah, that's what I was doing last year. I just said, well, I don't know. You just, you know,
right,
do that.
And Chuck did a really good job. I mean, he did a good job. He helped us sort. We're going to do some sorting the day before the parade and the Sunday before the parade. And we have our, the Mobile Police Department has a Citizens Academy that goes on every
year. Yeah, I've heard about this.
And their alumni is going to help us sort through all the stuff. Because last year, it was me, Chuck, and three or four other people from the board of Family of the Fallen. And it was like a six-hour
It's a long gig.
Ordeal. We had a good time doing it, and it really, you know, It just made my heart swell.
Yeah.
Seeing the just the amount of love and appreciation that we got from the citizens of Mobile.
Well, we'll do it again this year for sure. So people, once again, you can go to Rock the Float. You can go to Gulf Coast Beads, make that donation. You can physically bring those donations to headquarters or precincts.
Any of the four precincts.
All right, you can bring them there. And if somebody wants to, you know, right now they just can't get, can they make a cash donation? Where do they go if they're going to make a donation cash-wise?
You can make a cash donation to either Gulf Coast Beads or Rock the Float, or
can you go the web? Is there a way to make a donation through the website?
Yeah, the Family of the Fallen .org and the Family of the Fallen on Facebook, and there's a donation tab that you can go and donate on that.
We'll make it extra easy too. We'll put a link up to that Facebook page on our Facebook page, and you'll be able to pick it up right there. I want to for a second talk with you about, you mentioned Citizens Academy.
Yes,
this is, I know two people that have been through and they rave about it. Tell people, Citizen, how does this work?
I think it's like a 12-week,
yeah, that's my favorite.
Maybe 20 weeks, and it's once a week. You go to the.
You learn all these different parts of policing, right?
It's like a scaled down police academy for the police officers. When a recruit goes to the police department, you pretty much will get a condensed version of what they go through. Of course, you don't do any of the physical.
No PT.
No PT. but you will be able to go visit the jail. You get to go to all the precincts. You get to go to the firing range. And you get to be put through some of the actual training that we get put through.
Yeah, people that have done this in the past told me, they said, if not even they said new respect, they said, I just have a new understanding of police work after doing that.
I actually taught there for a couple of classes back when I used to be in a different unit, and they get different detectives from different units to come in and teach what you do. This is what a burglar detective does, or a robbery detective, or an assaults detective, or homicide, or crime scene, and you know, all different aspects of the police department. And all you have to do is you have to fill out an application, and you have to pass a background check.
Okay, so do they do that online? Do they go to headquarters? How do they do that?
I think you can do it online, and I think it actually goes through the training, which is at 1251 Virginia Street. That's where our police academy is.
Okay, so if y'all are interested in that, I mean, I think about how popular the shows that show detective work and all that are, the TV shows. I mean, if that's any measure, there's a lot of people out there that are really interested in that.
I think we've had maybe 18 Citizens Academies that I can remember.
That many?
Yeah.
So
I think there's about 20 to 25 people per academy, too.
And it's one of these things where everybody gets signed up, and it starts at a certain, it's got start dates, like
right.
The new academy
like
starts.
Like a regular academy does, and then your report date is every Tuesday of every month.
All right.
I mean, every Tuesday of the week for that 4 or 5 month period.
All right. So if y'all want to get signed up, too, that's a neat thing. I've heard great reviews of that. Once again, so the float, so two sides of this. Let's stock this float up just like we did last year, and let's make sure we wave and cheer for those families when they come. It'll be during the last float in the KOR parade on Fat Tuesday.
Right. Last year, we were actually, we led the parade for the floor parade.
Right.
And one of the ways you can kind of tell, besides the fact that, you know, the float we had last year was perfect because it had a big policeman on the front, had,
right,
you know, badges and patches on the side of it, but that was actually a themed float for the Mystics last year. But if the one thing we ask is that when, hopefully we're going to be able to do the same thing we did last year where we have three honor guard members for the Mobile Police Department and or other honor guards throughout the city, throughout the county, sorry. They will be carrying a flag in front of that parade. It'll be okay. A folded flag, and they'll be carried with hands across their chest. But there are certain times where they stop, and they will do a little ceremony where they switch the flag from one officer to another, and it's very...
It's pretty solemn.
It's very solemn.
Yeah.
First time I actually got to see it, the first time they did it on the float, but I saw a couple of different clips on video where they put it on the news. It's really neat, and that's just kind of paying respect for those mm-hmm. officers. And the one thing we ask is that what we're going to do is when you see the officers stop and they're going to do their little ceremony, the people on the float are going to stop throwing at that time.
Understand why.
And then
yeah.
we kind of would like the people to, you know, try to just remain respectful while that's going on, and because I think there was some miscommunication last year where some people stopped throwing and some people didn't, and
it's
just
that's what's going on. So we know
we just want it to be a very respectful procedure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for your efforts on this, and hopefully the float's even more packed than last year.
Well, it's a smaller float, so we have less families this year, but I still think we could probably fill it up.
Oh yeah, it's going to happen. Sergeant Joseph Goff, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Sean.
All right, more information on our Facebook page, and we're coming right back.